Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Psalms 137, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, of course, you can look up on the screen. I'm going to read this quickly. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, for there those who carried us away captive asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt you, Jerusalem, above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are you to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock." Then Leviticus 23:40 says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Now I want to speak to you tonight about with a palm or with a willow. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have moved in this place. You have done such miraculous work in this house so far. But Lord, we are anticipating what you're going to do next. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will take this word and you will let it set root into the hearts of everyone in this house. Father, I pray, Lord, that when they leave here, God, that they will leave here not having heard me, but having heard you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would set the captives free, that you would deliver those out of the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You see, the writer in the book of Psalms 137 is describing the feelings of his feelings of anguish and the anguish of the children of Israel as they faced the hands of the Babylonians. He is writing while in captivity in what is known today as southern Iraq. His desire, of course, was to be home in Zion. You see, Zion represented something precious to God's people. It represented God's presence. It represented the place where God rested, because Zion is where Jerusalem lay. It is where the temple was erected. Zion was their holy city. Zion was everything. It was more than just a place to visit. It was their identity. And yet they were removed from their identity. The nation of Judah was in Babylonian captivity for approximately 70 years. And of course, its brother, the nation of Israel, was in captivity for approximately 170 to 200 years. The Babylonians were a cruel and intelligent foe. They understood and mastered the ways of war. They surrounded Judah. And they laid siege on Jerusalem after they had encamped them with a blockade. They had stopped all traffic to and from the city. They had starved them to the point to where they were so weak they could no longer fight. And then after that, they plundered the city. They took their women, children, and treasure and forced the men to hard labor. Then they led them into captivity into Babylon. So this unknown writer from Judah describes how their joy was robbed from them. And now how they had felt that God himself had forsaken them. The writer says, "We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst. For there was who carried us away captive, asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth. He says that when we crossed the river coming into Babylon, we saw the willow tree. And we hung our harps up there in the willows, just in case when we got over into Babylon, they requested a song from us. Just in case they requested mirth, which mirth is the word for happy or joyous praise. So as they saw the willows, they decided to give up their talent, give up their praise and their worship so the enemy could not use it against them. The Babylonians had exhausted them so much that their strength and will to fight was gone from them. The Babylonians had demoralized them, humiliated them, and robbed them of everything they cherished. You see, they come and they choose a willow tree. Now, it is important for you to understand that the willow tree is very significant for many reasons. In Isaiah chapter 15, the prophet uses the willow to symbolize weeping and sorrow. It is a symbol of surrender and succumbing to the storm, because the willow tree bends in the storm and does not try to fight it. It whips around in the vicious winds. There is no fight in the willow. It bends easily under the violent winds. And you see, the nation of Judah got to the river and said, "What are we going to need these harps for? We have nothing left to praise for. We no longer can worship in his presence any longer. So if we bring these with us into captivity, they will only use it against us. They'll say, 'Where is your God now? Why do you sing praises now? Because you're in our hands now. Where is your God? Where is the one who redeemed you? Where is the one when we had you surrounded? Where was he when we took everything you possessed? Where was he when we took your children? Where was he when we took your home?'" Or maybe worse, they will profane our worship by forcing us to offer it up to an unknown God. In other words, the prophet or the writer was saying, "I would rather give up my talent. I would rather live my life in sorrow. I would rather never sing again. I would rather not proclaim his word again than make myself vulnerable." You see, I believe that there are some of us in here tonight that have found ourselves in situations just like this. We have succumbed to the attacks of the enemy, and we don't feel like if there's any joy left. You may be looking over your life and you see the enemy surrounding you as if you're pressed on every side. You may even feel like the anointing has left your house or no longer is even relevant. You may feel like you don't have a praise left in your mouth. And how could you worship with such defeat in your life? You may be afraid that if you let out a cry or let out a shout, the enemy will use it against you. If you praise God despite your present circumstances, those around you will say, "You have lost your mind." They will ask you, "How can you praise a God who allows this to happen to you? How can you worship a God who allows you to suffer such great loss? How can you worship a God who says he loves you, but yet allows your loved ones to pass? How can you worship a God who allows cancer in your life? How can you worship a God who allows divorce in your life?" And so you're afraid of what they might say. Since it seems as if your praise is pointless anyway, you have thought about hanging it all up in sorrow. You have thought about that my praise is no longer necessary. So as I pass by my sorrow, I'm going to let it hang in my sorrow. In our text, we read Leviticus chapter 23 and 40, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, the branches of the palm trees, the boughs of the leafy trees, and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You see, this is a time of instruction. God spoke to Moses and he was giving him the plans and the instructions for the Feast of the Tabernacles. In this particular feast, he was talking about the Arevah. He says, bring in the branches of 4 different types of trees. The branches of the fruit trees, which signifies and represents the time of the harvest. The branches of the leafy trees, which represents the times of knowledge and truth. The branches of the palm trees, which represents times of joy and one heart after God. The palm tree has one heart, so the palm tree represents one heart after God. In other words, I only have one desire, I only have one that I serve, one God that I love. And the branches of the willow, which represents the times of sorrow. When it comes time for the Arevah, he says, I want you to grab the branches of the fruit trees and praise me with them in the times because of the for the times of the plenty when I blessed your house. When it comes time, I want you to grab the leafy trees for the times that I have sent knowledge and truth your way. When you didn't know what to do, and I gave you a word, and you knew exactly what to do. When those times came, and you felt like all hope was lost, but I came in and I gave you just a nugget to get you out of it. In the times when your children looked like they were about to backslide, but I gave you just a word to convict them. He said, and then I want you to grab the palm branches because I have given you joy, an unspeakable joy. Because I am the one true God and I supply all your needs. So when it comes time for the Arevah, I want you to grab the fruit trees and say, God, you've blessed me with plenty. I want you to grab the leafy trees and say, God, you've spoke to me in the times of confusion. And I want you to grab the palm trees and say, I have joy because you're the only God of my life. And then he says, I want you to grab the willow. Because even in the times of sorrow, I'm still God. Even when it feels like I'm a distant thing in your past, I'm still very present in your future. When it feels like all hope is lost and there's nothing left to give, I'll give you that next little bit to finish the race. When it feels like you've got nothing to shout for, I'm going to give you one more thing to shout. When it feels like you don't know what to do, I'm going to come in and give you some divine revelation. He says, I want you to grab those branches and wave them before me. Because even in your sorrow, I'm still God. And when you don't feel like I'm there, I'm there. And when you think you've been left comfortless, I'll never leave you comfortless. When you feel like you don't have the power to move on, I'll give you the strength to move on. When you feel like sickness is taking you over, I'll give you the strength to get through it. When you feel like healing's not on the horizon, I'll send it right on the fourth day. And you'll say it's too late, but it'll be on time. And then they would take these branches and they would recite Psalms 118, 28 through 29. They would say, you are my God and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And let me tell you something, I can understand that. I can understand that when you're grabbing the fruit trees and you're saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. I can understand that whenever you're giving praise with the leafy trees and you're saying, oh, God, you're so wonderful. You've given me a word when I didn't know what to do. And I can understand that when you grab the palm branches and you say, you are my God, you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are the joy of my salvation. I can understand that. But sometimes it becomes difficult to understand that when in the times of sorrow, you pick up the willow branches and you say, oh God, you love me. Even though I'm going through this, I know you still love me. Even though it feels like I have no hope left, you still love me. Even though it feels like I'm going to die in my sleep, you still love me. Yeah. the fact that he doesn't just blanket it with give me praise. But he says, you go ahead and you give me praise when you feel like shouting. You go ahead and you give me praise when you feel like dancing. You go ahead and you give me praise when you got money in the bank. You go ahead and give me praise when you got a word for tomorrow. But even when you got nothing to go on. Even when it feels dry and you're so thirsty, you feel like you could die at any moment. I want you to give me praise in your sorrow. Give me praise through your tears. Give me praise through your anguish. Because there's coming a day when I'll show up and you can pick up the palms once again. Hallelujah. He says, it's not just for one time. It's not just for one emotion. It's not just for one circumstance. It's not just for one season in life. Because I'm the God who's going to get you through every season. When you feel depressed, I'll get you through that. When you're going through divorce, I'll get you through that. When you feel like all hope is lost, I'll get you through that. When your marriage is in trouble, I'll get you through that. When you feel like you have no purpose, I'll get you through that. When you feel like you're going to die, I'll get you through that. When God has allowed grief to come into your life, I'll get you through that. Don't worry about it. Now, you might say, hey, Pastor Justin, what's the point of the Feast of the Erevah? You know what? I am so happy you asked that. Because my message would have been a whole lot different if you didn't. Leviticus chapter 23 and 43 says that your generations, come on, you got to hear this, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In other words, he said, listen, here's why I want you to grab those branches. Here's why I want you to praise even when you don't feel like it. So that when the kids come after you, they'll say, well, wait a minute, mama and daddy had a rough time, but I know God got them through it. That when your grandkids come after you, they'll say, hey, grandpappy had a rough time. I remember when it looked like all hope was lost. I remember when they were stuck in the bottle, but you delivered them. He said, because I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Now, I find that so ironic because this writer is talking about the children of Israel about to go into captivity. And what's the first thing they do is they get to this brook and they see a willow tree and they say, oh, that's a nice tree. I wonder what it's there for. You know what? It's there to hang my harp up in. It's there to hang my praise up. Because now we're at the place of sorrow. And now, yeah, I praised all that, but God, you've forsaken me. You may even feel like Job and you say, I curse the day I was even born. You may feel like you have nothing. And you're at that brook. And you say, that looks like a good place to stop it all. That looks like a good place to hang up my anointing. Yeah, this looks like a good place to start a new season. Wait, this is just a new season in my life. Let me tell you something. A season with no growth is winter, and that's death. I don't know about you, but that ain't a season I want to stay around in. And so they hung their harps up. And he said, I want you to know. I want you to do this on the Feast of Erevah so that everybody will remember that I brought you out of Egypt. So in other words, yeah, Babylon, okay, you might have got us this time, but you don't know my God. You don't know what you're messing with. Because the one that brought us out of Egypt, guess what he did there? It might have taken them 10 tries. It might have taken them 10 plagues to let go and let loose. But I tell you what, by the time they left with Egypt's cattle. They left with Egypt's gold. They left with Egypt's ox carts. They left with every bit of their possessions. And they went right on into the land of promise and built a tabernacle out of that. So yeah, Babylon, You're gonna do this to me? Yeah, cancer. You think you're gonna do this to me? Yeah, divorce. You think you're gonna do this to me? Yeah, hatred. You think you're gonna do this to me? Loved one, you think you're gonna do this to me? Friends that were supposed to be my friends, I found out weren't my friends. You think you're gonna do this to me? You don't know who my God is. You don't know what He can do. You don't know what He does. Let me tell you something. He's an expert at getting His people out of bondage. So listen, I'm not going to hang my harp up. I'm going to go ahead and grab that harp and cut me a branch and say, listen, we're at the willow tree. And yeah, it's a time of sadness. And yeah, it's a time of sorrow. And yeah, it's a time I shouldn't be praising and shouting. But I got a branch, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Yeah, it's easy when the times are plenty. It's easy when provision's happening. It's easy when you feel the enemy's hands let loose. But what are you going to do when it's not like that? What are you going to do when it doesn't feel like hope is in the future? What are you going to do when you can't see the light of day? What are you going to do when you're overwhelmed with sorrow? But unto Him that is able to turn my mourning into dancing. Unto Him that is able to turn my sorrow into joy. Unto Him that looks at this situation as an opportunity. Unto Him that says, listen, I'm going to get out of this dancing. I'm going to get out of this with some gold. I'm going to get out of this with some precious gems. I'm going to get out of this with more than what I came in with. So you go ahead and try this, enemy. You go ahead and try this, devil. Whatever you got for me, come on with it. Come on with it. Because, yeah, I might shed some tears. I might lose hope at times. But I'm going to still wave them branches and say, nevertheless, you're God. Nevertheless, you're good. Nevertheless, you're holy. Nevertheless, you are almighty. You see, the willow tree also represents something else. It represents stability and the ability to hold fast during the storms. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 17, it says that it is admonished for its root structure along the banks of the rivers, because the storms of life can rage against it. But my trials and tribulations have caused my roots to grow deeper. My trials and tribulations have caused me to sink down into the soil. And when that stream comes right beside ripping by, and it looks like it's going to take me under, my roots are planted. My roots are deep. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that's going to say, yeah, I should be crying. Yeah, I should be dying. But I got me a branch, and I'm going to wave it. Even if it's not a palm, even if it's not a fruit tree, even if it isn't a leafy bush, I'm going to praise you with a willow. You see, praise in the times of sorrow built a type of faith that can be tested and stand the test. Maybe you didn't hear it. Praise in the times of sorrow built some roots. It built some faith that can be tested and stand the storm. I'm talking about people that later in life, they look back on you and they say, oh, aren't they a precious saint of God? And they don't know your story. Listen, precious saint of God, Sunday morning, she came up to me and talked to me. If you looked at this lady, I love this lady. She's an older lady. She's a great lady. And I'm not going to say her name because I don't want her to be embarrassed. She's not here, but you never know. And she says to me, she says, yeah, she says, I made a decision in my life that my kids would never have to ask if their parents loved them. She said, because my mom would drop me off with anybody who would take me, and my dad left a long time ago. She's like, I don't even know what my dad is. She's like, I can't say that I had a bad father. I just had no father. And I'm looking at her, and I'm saying, what? Really? Like, I mean, I'm one of those analytical types. that I like to look, well, this and this and this and this and this, and then when you have all that, you have this, right? I mean, that's how I work. That's how my brain works. That's why I was in the technical field for so long, because that's how I work, right? If you looked at her, you saw the joy on her face. You knew that she was a cancer survivor, but still worshiped God and didn't miss hardly any church. I mean, come on, somebody. And then you hear a story like that, and I say, my God, you know what it is? It's because her myrrh's been crushed. Oh, yeah, I piqued your interest now, huh? You know what myrrh is? Myrrh is a fragrance that's given off, and it's a fragrance for worship. Myrrh is something that you have to crush it to give off fragrance. And so what happens is the more you crush it, the stronger the fragrance. The more crushings, the stronger the fragrance. The more crushings in your life, the stronger the praise. Yeah, you might have battled alcohol addiction, but now. You might have battled drug addiction, but now. Yeah, you might have been in adultery, but now. You might have been a fornicator, but now. Oh, I don't know if there's anybody in here that's got some but nows. You might have been, but now. You're washed by the blood of the Lamb. You're redeemed forever, and you're waving your branches. You see, in the Babylonian conquest, thank God, not everybody gave up. You see, there was these certain individuals, one of them, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Even in the den, and even in the fire, they remembered that there was coming a day that God would avenge them. That there was coming a day that God would liberate them out of captivity. They said, yeah, you can throw us in the fire. You can throw me in the den. But I'm not going to stop worshiping my God. I might be scared to death. I might be in fear. I might not know what's coming next. But I'm not going to stop worshiping my God. Because there's coming a day when he'll deliver me out of the mouth of the lion. There's coming a day when he'll deliver me through the fire. Because my God is the Lord, my God. 70 years after they crossed into Babylon, God restores Jerusalem. And you know what he does with Jerusalem? He tells Cyrus the Great, a pagan king, to restore Jerusalem. And he did it on his bank account. Oh, that excites me. Because that tells me that this stuff that we go through, that some of this trouble that you and I go through, that some of these trials that you and I go through, are all because he's getting ready to finance something in your life. He's getting ready to set you free, baby. He's getting ready to set up some things that you ain't never thought were possible. He's getting ready to perform miracles in your life that you didn't even know could happen. I'm talking about some faith like Abraham that said, my God will raise him up even if I do this. I'm talking some faith in this place that says, thou can make me whole. I'm talking about some faith like the woman with the issue of blood. Wouldn't it have been a shame if she would have took the doctor's word for it? Wouldn't it have been a shame if she didn't go for a second opinion? But she said, listen, I spent 12 years of spending everything I've got. She says, but there's a man from Galilee that I've heard has healing in his wings. She says, even in the midst of my trial, even in the midst of my pain, even in the midst of my anguish, even in the midst of the craziness going on, even when I feel like my family's in ruins, even when I feel like all hope is lost, even when I feel like I don't have anything else to shout for, in the midst, if I can just get in his presence, I can touch the hem of his garment, because I know there's coming a day when he's going to release me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's somebody in here that you wave your branches right here.
Thank you,
There's somebody in here. You've got some things to praise for. There's somebody in here. Yeah, there's sorrow in your life, but right now when you wave before God, even in the midst of your sorrow, it's opening up the windows of heaven, and He's getting ready to pour something out in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody stand in this place. God has done something in this house, and I believe He's going to do something else. I want to tell you this real quick. November 7th, one of my best friends died in a motorcycle accident. Most of the time, most of you know this. Some other things happened in my life. Some other situations. And I sank into a little bit of depression. Things started happening. I started having significant pains in my chest. And heart disease runs in my family, and I know I'm young. That's what everybody says. Well, you're too young. Well, my uncle's first heart attack was at 29. And so I started saying, God, what's going on? Go to the doctors, go in there for an EKG, everything's fine. Amen. What are you talking about, everything's fine? I was just hurting when I got there. Leave, hurts again. And I don't know if you know anything about EKGs, but if the thing's not happening at the moment, it's really pointless. So I'm sitting here right there praising God one Sunday morning. And I just start crying because I start thinking about my babies and my wife. I say, God, why would you allow me to leave them so young? Why would you do that? And he says, if I heard him clear ever in my life, I heard him clear at this moment. He says, why would you even think that was my plan? Come on. This is so that my glory may be known to you and your children. I bind the devil in Jesus' name. I haven't had a pain in my chest in a very long time. And you know what? I don't even care what it was, because it's gone and my God healed it. But where was I? Right there. Feeling depressed. Feeling like I had no hope left. But saying, God, I've seen you do it before. I've seen you move. I've seen you move. I've seen you heal. I've seen you open the blinded eyes. I've seen you raise the dead. I've seen you open the deaf ears. I've seen you move. I know that I was an alcoholic and you set me free. I've seen you do it. And even in my sorrow, I'm going to praise you. Come on, give him a hand clap. I know we've had a move of God, but I would hate to leave this alone. If there's anybody in this house and you say, Pastor, that's speaking to me. I'm in the midst of a sorrowful time right now, and I've praised in the times of good. But I'm having a hard time right now. I'm having a hard time with this. I don't feel like giving up, but I'm scared that if it gets any worse, I might. If that's you, will you come up here right now? And listen, it's not no magic formula. The way you're going to get out of it is you're going to start waving your branches and saying, though I feel like this, God, you're still worthy. Though I feel like giving up, you're still worthy. Though I don't see you clearly right now, you're still worthy. Is there anybody else in this house? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't be shy, don't be bashful. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, that's it. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Hallelujah. I'll pray for you. Don't worry. I'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. But it's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take a determination. It's going to take you saying, I don't care even what tomorrow may bring. So I'm saying, I don't care if this is a long process. No, that hurts, right? I don't care if this is even a long process. I don't care if I'm going into something right now that feels like a trap. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you in the middle of it. I'm going to praise you because I know there's coming a day when you're going to set me free. If there's anybody in here, you're sick in body and you need healing and you're tired of feeling that way, come on up here right now. If there's anybody in here, you need a healing, you need a touch right now. Don't be shy. Come on up here. If there's anybody in here that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need infilling of the Holy Ghost, come on up here right now. If there's anybody in here that you need miraculous provision in your life right now, come up here. Yeah. Spirit Life team, come help me, please. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, everybody, lift your hands up to heaven right now. Everybody in this house, pray with me right now. Father, I need you. I need you like never before. I want to feel your presence like never before. I'm tired of feeling the anguish and the sorrow. I need you to move in my life right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.